British Columbia.
Speak up. You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Welcome. Thanks for hanging out, spending some time with me. I'm Jesse. This is, as you just heard, a recorded version of me say, Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the one and only campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo, Katsi, Kukwetlem, and other Coast Salish peoples. Today on the show, a bit of an extended edition of What Did Jesse Find in the Archives, some other spoken word audio, and as usual, some music. All of that will overlap and intersect in different ways. But as usual, we are going to start with a little bit of local music. This kind of hyper-local in that one of the members works across the hallway at the Embark Sustainability Society. This is the new record by Fast Fashion by The View. This is called When I Dream.
Thank you.
When I Dream by Fast Fashion, the opening track from their new record, By the View, which is out now on Bandcamp and other platforms. Cool little track, cool little five-track record. Very dreamy. I like it. Okay, so now I mentioned right off the top that we are going to have an extended version of What Did Jesse Find in the Archives today. And that's because, you know, sometimes you find a real gem and something that feels like something you could build a whole show around. I could probably just play each track off of this record. I could probably just play it in sequence, and that would be a thrilling hour of radio. But there are 17 tracks, and I believe the total runtime is an hour and 17 minutes. So we're not going to get through everything. But I did find this really great compilation called "Till the Bars Break," which is from 1991. It is put together by this a new cooperative of labels called Irresistible/Maya/Revolutionary that grew out of the creative pursuits and friendships between Pat Andrade and Don Paul. And it is, it's called Till the Bars Break, as I said. It is a combination, a celebration, a collaboration between Indigenous and Black revolutionaries, activists, artists, and musicians that came out in 1991 and is in many ways a response to or a commentary on the Oka crisis of 1990, or the Kanasatake resistance, which was, as Wikipedia sort of charitably describes it, a land dispute between a group of Mohawk people and the town of Oka, Quebec, which began on July 11th, 1990, and lasted 78 days until September 26th, with two fatalities. This event, crisis, dispute, was the first well-publicized violent conflict between First Nations and provincial governments in the late 20th century. And, you know, we'll get into some specifics, a description of the events. But essentially, there were plans to build a golf course on a Mohawk land, which was a burial ground, and the Mohawk people, the Haudenosaunee, stood up and erected barricades and armed themselves and provided strong, visible, loud resistance that eventually impacted Canadian international trade. And resulted in the Canadian government and the Canadian military moving in, and from there, the killing of land defenders. This story, if you weren't around, was, you know, big national, international news in 1990, and the following years. It also provided a template of sorts for Indigenous resistance in Canada and North America for the next several decades. And, you know, the more recent Wet'suwet'en protests took tactics, took inspiration from the Kanasatake resistance. So, still a very salient, relevant, historical event that is now, almost 25 years in the past, but, still resonates today. So, there are many, many different, things on this compilation. There's some dub, there's some dance music, there's poetry reading accompanied by music or not accompanied by music. There's an interview with Che Guevara from 1967 that also manages to stay salient and relevant. And there's also a short essay called Oka Ain't Over, A History Lesson by Greg Young Ng. So I will read that for you in a moment. But first, we are going to hear one of the standout tracks from Till the Bar Breaks, which is called Oka Ain't Over by The Fire Next Time. And obviously, it's about Oka and its immediate impact. This compilation came out in 1991, so the year after the Oka crisis. So a very fresh response to what that resistance meant in the moment and what could be seen for the future. So without further ado, by The Fire Next Time, this is Oka Ain't Over.
Government's handling of the crisis at Oka was designed to try and humiliate and crush the warriors in order to send a clear message to Native people of color, and those that resist the state. Don't stand up for your rights or we will crush you. The object was not negotiation. It was humiliation and domination.
Coming from. I feel oppressed too. I wait in line, you know, at the bank. I hate it. And someone took my parking spot too. I know that's just like your land. I understand, Red. It's cool, skin. Skin, right? That's what you call each other? Skin. I got it. I'm in there. Skin.
Anybody who isn't white and doesn't subscribe to European cultural values is automatically assumed to be inferior. Our lives are somehow less valuable. So it's acceptable to allow the army and the SQ to terrorize Indian people at Oka and for cops to gun down innocent black people in the streets.
I went to see Namindoy. Perfumes the blues. I went to see Namindoy. Perfumes the blues. I went to see
the few moments that we have left, we wanna have just an off-the-cuff chat between you and me. Us. We wanna talk right down to earth. Right down to earth. In a language that everybody here can easily understand.
The last thing the Canadian government wants to see is black and native people asserting themselves and standing up for their rights together.
We have a common enemy. We have this in common. We have a common oppressor, a common exploiter, and a common discriminator. But once we all realize that we have this common enemy, then we unite on the basis of what we have in common.
Hoka Ain't Over, the No Effin' Surrender mix by The Fire Next Time from the compilation Till the Bars Break, a response to the Kanesatake resistance, or also known as the Oka Crisis of 1990, and the opening of eyes that happened both among the indigenous community as far as the government's true feelings and attitudes towards indigenous peoples in this country, but also the rest of the country in terms of, again, seeing what the official position or attitude was and is towards indigenous peoples in what is now known as Canada. I mentioned that Greg Younging had written a brief essay about Oka called Oka Ain't Over, same title as the song. He writes, "Contrary to popular European historical account, the Americas were not discovered in 1492. On the historic day that Columbus's vessels stumbled upon these shores, thinking that he had found a passage to India, the Americas were occupied by hundreds of self-determining nations that had developed their cultures, their institutions, their established territories, and their governments over thousands of years on the soil of these continents, which are now commonly referred to as North America, Central America, and South America. The first formal European document that clearly outlined a procedure for land cession in what is now Canada was the Royal Proclamation of 1763. In the proclamation, King George III of England recognized that First Nations are aboriginal title over their lands and right to self-determination. The proclamation also outlined a nation-to-nation treaty process as the only method by which European British subjects could acquire land rights. 16 land cession treaties were signed between First Nations and the British Crown, in which individual First Nations consented to extinguishing Aboriginal title over portions of their territories in exchange for certain treaty benefits. Through treaties, the portions of lands that were ceded to the Crown were to be reserved for Europeans, British, to settle and to develop their own societies and governments, and those portions of the land that were not ceded were to be reserved for First Nations to continue maintaining their own already developed societies and governments. However, the obligations outlined in every treaty have since been broken by settler governments in Canada. Canadian settler governments have illegally assumed jurisdiction over large tracts of unceded First Nations territories and subjugated First Nations citizens to Canadian legislation laws without their consent. In this process of colonization, First Nations have been corralled onto small tracts of land, commonly referred to as reserves, blocked from developing natural resources, leaving them economically dependent, had religious ceremonies outlawed, and had traditional governments undermined by foreign forms of representation imposed and designed by the settler governments. For generations, First Nations children were removed from their families and communities and forced to attend residential schools, where they were punished for speaking their language, indoctrinated with Christian and liberal ideology, and subjected to various other forms of physical and psychological abuse, including sexual abuse. The Canadian government's colonization policies have created a situation where First Nations peoples are the poorest socioeconomic group in Canada, have the highest suicide rate, the highest rate of incarceration, the highest degree of alcoholism, and the poorest health conditions. Despite the historical fact that First Nations have never surrendered Aboriginal title to their lands and resources or the right to govern themselves, Canada refuses to recognize these inherent rights. In the summer of 1990, the Warrior Society of the Mohawk Nation defended their territory from further encroachment by erecting armed blockades. This was supported by various blockades and other forms of direct action by First Nations across the country. The Canadian government responded by sending in the army to dismantle blockades and subjecting the Mohawks and their supporters to criminal charges. The First Nations will never forget how Canada reacted to the Mohawk Nation's courageous stand for their legitimate rights. As frustration and anger builds and patience runs thin, direct actions like the Mohawk standoff will continue to occur until the Canadian government recognizes the First Nations' inherent rights. Greg Younging is a Cree writer whose poems have been featured in various poetry anthologies and musical collaborations with Seventh Fire. That was Oka Ain't Over, a history lesson by Greg Younging, from the liner notes of Till the Bars Break, a compilation that I'm doing a little bit of a deep dive into here. Now we'll go to one of Greg Young-ing's poems, with the aforementioned Seventh Fire. This is a track called Bury My Heart by Greg Young-ing with Seventh Fire.
Vast plains where freedom quests end in merciless violence, cradling the dust of another frontier.
Bury my heart,
bury my heart in cold print on the dead dry leaves of books unfinished, censored by a foreign mind. Bury my heart in the city of sorrow, amid mazes of broken rock, which hide the evidence of natural power, soft and strong.
Bury my heart, bury my heart.
Bury it in bottles, in stairwells, in between buildings, where survivors survive, in unsheltered existence. Bury it where grass grows silent, in between scapes of rolling gray tonnage.
Bury my heart, bury my heart.
Bury My Heart by Greg Young-ing with Seventh Fire. From the Till the Bars Break compilation, released in response to the Oka Crisis in 1991, the Oka Crisis in 1990. And in listening to the words of that piece and reflecting on the words of his essay, Oka Ain't Over, and the track Oka Ain't Over that we heard before that, it's just very clear that these are still the issues that remain to be resolved. Quoting from an article from the Harvard International Review, the history of the Oka crisis and its impact is especially salient when taken into consideration with the Wet'suwet'en protests that began in late 2018. This time, the conflict was centered around the construction of a natural gas pipeline planned to pass through traditional Wet'suwet'en territory in the construction, or in the province of British Columbia. Excuse me. Once again, blockades were erected across Canada, beginning with roads leading to the actual site of development and expanding to encompass railway lines across Canada. The economic disruption this entailed made the movement unpopular with many Canadians, and there was an increase in hate speech and violent threats made against First Nation peoples. The RCMP was dispatched to enforce a court injunction and remove a blockade, resulting in the arrest of 14 protesters. The publication of a report alleging the RCMP was instructed to use lethal force in the enforcement of the injunction, a claim that has not been verified or confirmed by the RCMP, but seems to be supported by video footage, has further aggravated the situation. The arrests and accusations of excessive force